to Education, Leadership, and Beyond, Surviving and Thriving. My name is Andrew Marotta, host of the show, and happy to be here with you live here on Facebook, live on Twitter, Instagram, Voicehead Radio Canada, wherever you are taking in your podcasts. We appreciate you joining us. I love that the podcast is live because you could jump in, questions, comments, and certainly meet our guests just like I do. So, and today we are meeting Dr. David Franklin, the CEO of the Principal's Desk. I sat in that principal's desk for a long time, as did David, and he is doing a lot of work related to developing and working with principals now. And he wrote, we got a fire alarm going off here during the podcast. Sorry, David. It's like the life of a principal, you know, whatever they're making downstairs. Sorry, friends. Well, that'll give us to our sponsor. I'm going to jump in and play our sponsor right now so you can go there. We'll be back with IXL. Hey, friends. Andrew Marotta here, Surviving and Thriving. And I want to thank today's sponsor for the podcast, IXL. Discover the power of data-driven instruction in your school with IXL. It is the most widely used online learning and teaching platform, K through 12. It gives you everything you need to maximize learning, from a comprehensive curriculum to meaningful school-wide data. And IXL's diagnostic is research-proven to be a strong predictor of performance on standardized assessments, including NWEA, MAPS, STAR, iLearn, just to name a few. And the best part, everything I just mentioned, is all integrated into one platform so you can simplify your ed tech tools. Visit IXL.com to lead your school towards data-driven excellence today. The link is in the show notes. And again, I want to thank IXL for sponsoring Education, Leadership, and Beyond. All right, a word from our sponsor, and sorry about the fire alarm there. They're cooking something downstairs. So David, it's like the life of a principal. So, but let's get started here on the program. The pre-show topic here, our pre-show. Just, it's the end of the year. It's the 15th of May as we do this show. And you got all the ceremonies. You got the concerts. You got the awards assemblies. All these great events happening in school. And as a school leader, as a principal, even though we're tired, we're at the end of our rope, we're at the end of it, these are the big moments. And I call it managing major moments, right? It's where the parents and the teachers want to see the school shine. They want to see their students and their children shine. And again, whether you're a principal, school leader, you're running this event, put a lot into it, right? Get that foyer cleaned up. Get that auditorium extra clean. Those flowers, you want to make those occasions look good. So you've worked a whole year to get to this point. Get those end of the year events. Make them great. Make them fantastic. And certainly go all in on those events. So enough of me talking. Let's bring in David from Idaho, Boise, Idaho, by way of California. Dr. David Franklin, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. The fire alarm brought me back to literally putting out fires when I was a principal. Everyone always says, like, you put out a lot of fires. I'm like, I literally put out fires. I put out two as a principal. So brought me back.
But wow. you responded. I saw you grabbing stuff.
It's like I'm ready to go. I've been there.
Well, this is Dr. David Franklin, a lifelong principal, again, fellow educator by way of California in Boise now. He's a father, he's a husband, and he's also an author. David, let's start there. You just in January released Advice from the Principal's Desk. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate
Tell me about that journey. Tell me about the idea of the book and getting it from the idea to Amazon.
I was lucky enough in a few years prior to co-author a book called Can Every School Succeed with two superintendents out in the South, and enjoyed the process, but also enjoyed not being the main author and just, you know, contributing as I needed to. And I'd say probably about 2 years ago now, Wiley Publishing came and approached me and literally said, hey, have you ever thought about writing a book? And I said, yeah, all the time, but I don't know the first thing about writing a book. I have no idea what I would be doing. And like, okay, well, think about it, you know, and we'd love for you to, you know, publish with us if you'd like. And thought about it. And I actually had this idea that became my book, Advice from the Principal's Desk, just, you know, 10 years of being a principal and then also founding the Principal's Desk Facebook group, interacting with principals, you know, on a daily basis, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of them. And the stories and just the things that I know made me successful as a principal, I wanted to share those out with all principals, but especially newer principals in this day and age where we get so burned out so fast and such a difficult job. And the book, once I figured out those five things I wanted to share, I don't want to say it wrote itself, but I had to just take my back to sitting in that seat and just how I survived and the lessons I learned. And, you know, hopefully it's helping out some other principals now.
Yeah. Awesome. What, you know, they definitely need it. And it's so practical. We are going to give one away here. We're looking for engagement in our chat. So if you want to jump in and say hello, have a chance to win a signed book from David. We're going to do that tonight. Sure. David, did it come easy? Like, did you sit down on a Saturday morning and just type for hours? Or again, was it a half hour here, a half hour at Starbucks? You're driving to your daughter's game. What was the process like for you?
All of that. And so, you know, I'm definitely not one of these people that can sit down and just bang out, you know, chapter after chapter after chapter. I wrote it, like you just said, you know, volleyball practice, sitting there in the bleachers watching my daughter play and then also trying to cut out a few paragraphs. Starbucks knows me really well, the one down the street. I was there all the time. And I wrote here in my home office a lot too. But, you know, some things came very easily. There's certain things that I'm very passionate about as an educator and feel like, gosh, if every school did this, we'd all be more successful. And then other things were harder because I wasn't a perfect principal. And some of the writings that are in there are the mistakes that I made. And I had to go back and relive some of those and think about how I would do things differently to avoid some of the landmines I stepped in. I don't think I'm a natural, you know, writer. I couldn't write another book tomorrow. I do hope to write another one. If I'm so lucky, it was a process for me, but one that at the end of the day, I'm super proud of and thankful for that, you know, a publisher like Wiley, you know, sought to, you know, seek me out and say, hey, maybe this guy can write us a book.
Yeah. And you're doing a great job on social media. Dave is very active. Again, we're going to get to the Facebook group, the Principal's Desk and the Assistant Principal's Desk. But I love it. You share the excerpts, you circle it, you highlight different parts, and they're helpful. They're helpful.
Thank you.
Again, whether you're a first-year principal or someone who's been doing it a long time, they're great nuggets of information. So congratulations.
Yeah, thank you so much. Appreciate that.
What would you tell any educator out there that's thinking about writing that book? What would you tell them?
Have a voice, have an opinion. I think, you know, there are things in my book that I've posted out on social media that people don't agree with. And those are always the fun posts. And sometimes I respond, a lot of times I don't. And sometimes I do respond and kind of get into a debate with others, but have a stance and stick with it. And that's okay. You're not going to make everyone happy. That old phrase, you know, if you want to make everyone happy, open up an ice cream shop is very applicable to our work. And as a principal, I learned that many, many times. And as an author, yeah, I've had people say you're wrong. And I'm like, okay, like I appreciate your feedback. I could just say that it worked at my school and I know it can be replicated in other places, but you know, have an opinion, stick with it and you know, share your vision with others. Don't be afraid, you know, when someone comes back and says, "Hey, I disagree."
Yeah, for sure. Good advice there. David, on the pre-show questionnaire, I love it. I love this answer. I always say, what's your best success and your most difficult failure? And you wrote the same thing, you know, becoming a principal at 28.
Yeah.
And you answered that the same for both. So tell me about that experience. 28 years old, you're young.
Yeah.
You became a principal.
I did. Was not the plan. I became an AP at 27. And I did. I applied. I was thoughtful about it. I ended up moving from Southern California to Northern California with my wife. This was pre-kids. And I was an AP. I was super young, 27, thrown into every situation possible. I had never sat in an IEP meeting before. I was a music teacher. And so as a middle school music teacher, I never sat in IEP before. A 504, I was like, what is that? I'm learning. And, you know, I hadn't really dealt with difficult parents. I was an elective teacher. I was the fun teacher. Like everyone likes, like, who doesn't like going to, you know, the music class? You signed up for it. And then I was thrown in purposefully by my principal. At the time, I didn't know what she was doing. I'm like, you're crazy. You want me to go to that meeting and deal with that parent or that teacher? And she would just look at me and say, yeah. Now, she'd been a principal for 25 years, so she knew what she was doing. She was, you know, it was trial by fire. She wanted me to get in there. I didn't know that she was going to be moved to the district office at the end of that year. And neither did she. I thought I would have a couple of years as an AP, you know, maybe not be in my 20s and then become a principal. But she moved up and they came and they said, hey, what do you think? And I said, you're nuts, right? You want me to be the principal? I'm 3 years ago, I couldn't rent a car, you know, on my own, you know, like you want me to run a school? And I think I said something like, yes, but I'm going to tell you up front, I need support. Like I want some veteran people around me. And so they actually gave me a retired assistant principal, you know, of like 40 years in the profession to kind of guide me, which was good and bad at the same time. I mean, he took a lot of vacation time as well. He was retired. He wanted to spend some time with his wife going on vacations and everything. And then I'd be by myself. But it was the hardest 2 years, I think, of my entire career, just becoming an AP and then becoming a principal. I was exhausted all the time. I made every mistake known to man. I stepped in every landmine. I got yelled at by every single person possible. Even people I didn't know could yell at the principal. They yelled at me. And I learned a ton. But at the same, I mean, it was great. I had a great cell. I felt very proud of myself. I was able to do this at such an early age, and I felt a sense of accomplishment, but at the same time, what a nightmare at the same time. And so, yeah, it was the best and worst failure I could possibly think of.
Wow. What a great story. And here you are, you know, laughing about it.
Now I am.
Yeah. You think about David maybe saying, hey, this isn't for me. I want to go back to the band classroom. I've seen a lot of young administrators U-turn and go back.
I have two. There were times for sure when I was like, what did I do? I'm going to go look for teaching jobs. I was happy as a teacher. I didn't worry about the things that I worried about as an administrator. And I never actually applied for anything or took that next step. But yeah, I thought all the time my first year as a principal was probably the hardest year professionally of my life. And I had many sleepless nights and many angry, you know, drives home from school thinking I made a mistake and I should get out of this. And it's hard. It's very hard. It's also very lonely. And no one tells you that. And I also wrote about that in the book. It's a very lonely job.
Yeah.
And I had about an hour drive home. And I got to sit and stew on, you know, what had happened during the day, which was not probably the best for me and my own mental health, but it can be a very lonely job out there for sure.
Yeah. And that's why, again, the mentorship, the group you run on Facebook, again, if you're a school leader, look to join the principal's desk. It is phenomenal. The content that comes in there, the comments, the questions, so I see a little salt and pepper here. I shave, so you wouldn't see my gray today. But, you know, what would the more seasoned, the veteran David Franklin tell that first year, David Franklin, on his journey?
You know, I would probably say, you know, you're going to be tested. And that is a part of the gig. I actually had teachers tell me, we want to see how far you'll go before you crack. And they didn't mean it in the worst way possible. They just want to see, am I up to the challenge of this job?
Yeah.
And I hope I proved to all of them that I was. But you're going to be tested. You know, parents are going to be looking at you going, who's this new person here? I don't know if I trust them. Teachers, you know, especially if you're on the younger side, I had teachers who would, you know, flat out told me, my own children are your age. And they were right, because I met their kids and they were my age. And that must have been kind of strange for them. But there was a testing. It's like, how does this young guy know what he's doing? Like, he doesn't know what he's doing. I've been doing this for 40 years. He's been doing this for what, 10? they weren't always wrong, you know, and I think that's also important too. As a principal, you're not going to know all the answers, but I've seen a lot of principals try to make it seem like they do. I went from a middle school music position, and I was a middle school principal, then I became an elementary school principal. I don't know how to teach reading instruction to first graders. I don't. I used to sit in the first grade classroom going, this is amazing. And I was lucky. We had an amazing, several amazing first grade teachers, but one in particular, I was just like, if you need to be amazed, you go down to like kindergarten, first grade, you watch what they do and how these kids learn. Yeah. I couldn't do it personally, but I couldn't see what good teaching was. Oh, yeah. I could acknowledge it. And, you know, it's okay not to have all the answers. Just know the people that do, and bring people together. And so, don't go it alone. You're going to get tested, and it's a lonely job. So surround yourself with good people.
Yeah.
That's probably what I would say.
Good advice there. What'd you think of the opening comment about managing those major moments, those events?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, I'm a parent, I've got two kids, and there are times, you know, at schools where, you know, I remember as a principal going like, as a parent, this is what I want to make this special. You know, I would want this moment to be special for parents, for kids, for teachers at the end of the year, obviously, you know, talk about promotion ceremonies or graduations or, you know, just major milestones and achievements. And, you know, as a principal, you kind of go from one to the next, and you know, you want the best experience possible, because that's what everyone's going to remember. They're going to remember those big moments. They're also going to remember the small intimate moments as well. But those big moments, you know, I can remember back to my, you know, kindergarten, first grade, second grade. I don't remember the day-to-day stuff. I remember those special moments to me, and those will stick with me forever.
Yeah, for sure. My friend and mentor mentioned that we do see significant emotional experiences, right? And those ceremonies are, right? When that kid walks up on the stage, that is a significant experience for them and the parents. I think it's so important that we do a good job, certainly this time of year. David, what are some of the things you're most proud of? You look back at your career, you're doing some different things now, but you're when you were a principal, what are some things that you're most proud of?
So I was a principal of a middle school and an elementary school, and the middle school was the one that I took over when I was 28, and it was a difficult assignment. It was a school that was in an area that was struggling with gangs and drugs and low expectations, and I was there for 5 years, and a lot of the gray hairs came from those 5 years, and then came from my own children. But like, we left a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, you know, at that school. And at the end of the 5 years, our attendance rates went from 91-92% up to 98%. We were able to bring back elective classes, which the district had taken out because they believed that let's give kids extra math and extra language arts classes to bolster their scores. And I went and I said, look, I'm a former music teacher. I know what gets up math reading scores. It's the arts. So we became a performing arts school. Wow. So we brought back electives. That's why the kids wanted to come to school. There was something exciting for them to do. Mm-hmm. We lowered our disciplinary rates. We were, let's see, my first year of walking in the door, and I looked at suspension rates. It was well over 200-300 days of suspension at the school. And we brought it down probably about 70%, you know, and turned a school around, you know, with some great teachers, some, you know, brought in really, really great parents and said, look, let's make this place special. And very proud of that, that achievement there for sure.
Yeah, that's terrific. And looking back, and God, that's got to feel good. You mentioned landmines, things that, you know, went wrong or regrets. Like you said, as principal, you don't make everybody happy. I know you step on some toes. What are some things that were some landmines or maybe some decisions that you said that wasn't the best?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm going to say something here that's going to potentially ruffle some feathers here. But if I mean, I'm answering very, very honestly here. As a principal, one of your jobs is hiring staff members and teachers. And it's a very, I mean, you're setting what could be, you know, the next 10, 15, 20 years of having someone there working with kids in that community. It's a very important job. on the flip side of that, evaluating teachers is also very, very important as well, because the students you're working with deserve the best, and they deserve teachers that are going to go, you know, that extra mile to make sure that they're, you know, instilling that content knowledge with the kids. I have regrets of bringing in a couple folks that I shouldn't have. And I know one is still there. And this is going back about 20 years. And I knew it at the time that I probably shouldn't bring this person on, but I was in a position where there was no one else applying for my open positions. Mm. And I was almost, you know, filling a room with a body. And I regret it. It's a big regret. It's a weight on your shoulders, you know, to know that you could affect, you know, the outcome of a kid's education for years and years and years. I felt that as a teacher, even though I was a music teacher, I felt like I'm providing something that kids could be musicians now for the rest of their lives. And that would be because they fell in love with it in my class. And as a principal, I want to make sure that each one of my kids had a phenomenal teacher. And part of our job is, you know, to recognize it when it's not there. And that's difficult. And so, you know, that's probably my regret, is not being as strong as I should have in my first year with something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. They say, you know, it's an over $1 million investment, and it's like a marriage. You could be married to this person for the next 40, 50 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought about that, and you know, the statistics too, you know, of, you know, if you want to dismiss a teacher, and again, I didn't dismiss many at all. I was very lucky. I had some amazing teachers, you know, work with me at these schools. But the cost was in the hundreds of thousands if you're looking for a dismissal. And, you know, again, younger self, I would say, you know, it's trust your gut. And if you know in your gut this is not a right match for the school, you need to do something about it rather than let it go. Because I left and I went on to different things. That teacher stayed, but the kids of the community, they all, of course, are all there too. And that was my decision. And it's a regret. It's a regret for sure.
Hiring is such an important part. It's happening now. People are interviewing.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes the, you know, the nice suit or the nice smile tricks you. You know, those are fire. But those true colors come out eventually.
Yeah. Oh, they always do. And like, I mean, I was so lucky in my career to work with some amazing teachers. You know, the vast majority of them, the ones that I hired, and those are the ones that I inherited when I came into a school. I hit the jackpot pretty much most of the time. It just, I was very lucky. And there's amazing teachers across the country, you know, that do amazing work each and every day. You know, that's how I spent my time at school. I used to sit in their rooms. Yeah. You know, I wanted to be inspired. I watched, you know, her, you know, teach a first grader how to read. That's an amazing unlock moment, because your brain just can't comprehend. How do you do that?
Yes.
You know, or, you know, teaching a second grader how to write a paragraph. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing when you think about it. Like,
it is.
It's not what I do.
I agree. For sure. David, I've removed the word balance out. I stopped saying the word balance. You're a father.
What balance?
I've replaced it with harmony, right? Trying to enjoy the journey. You know, I just had a fire alarm go off during the podcast, you know. Tell me about finding harmony in your life now. You have two teenage daughters. You're working as a consultant. You're working in schools. You're trying to balance a lot of things. Talk to me about harmony in your life.
I try to be present as much as I can. If I'm here, I try to be present. Now, that means I might work late at night after everyone's gone to bed. And that's a decision that I make because I want to have dinner with my kids. You know, as soon as this podcast wraps up, I'm going to go make dinner. And then I'm going to hang out with them until, you know, they go to bed. And then I'll probably kick in about an hour, hour and a half of work and getting ready, you know, for things in the rest of the week. You know, when I'm not working and if I'm traveling, I try to give myself some time. It's very easy, you know, with remote work and everything, where I could work 16 hours a day and not even notice that I'm doing it. Whereas if I was going in somewhere, there's a start time and an end time for the most part. It's just being aware of that, being present, and which is hard, you know, because that, you know, then I'm tasked to driving a kid to softball practice or going to a volleyball tournament. And, you know, those are all extremely important, you know, things. I saw a don't know, it was an Instagram post or somewhere where, you know, you only have 18 summers with your kids before they leave the house. Wow. You know, and when you think of it like that, you're like, that's it. And then I think about mine. I'm like, I got three left with one of them, five with the other. So, you know, and after, you know, they go off, they don't always, I never came back. I never went home after I was 18. So, you know, being present, I'm looking forward to this summer, you know, because we're going to go on a vacation, which, you know, I'm looking forward to, and just being there and, you know, recognizing when I'm working and then also recognizing when I'm not.
Yeah. Great answer. Where are you headed? Where's vacation?
Well, we're still trying to figure it out. It'll be on the East Coast somewhere. We're going to be up in Maine for a little bit. Okay. And so Maine is randomly one of our favorite places to go. If you've never been to Maine, I highly recommend it. Yeah. Not in the winter. Don't go in the winter, but go in the summer. It's one of the most amazing places.
It is. Yeah. Acadia National Park there.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. It just became one of our favorite places to go. So we're going to probably start there. And then who knows? We don't know yet, but I'm going to unplug for about 2 or 3 weeks.
If you're, again, here in the Hudson Valley area of Pennsylvania, give me a shout.
Yeah, we'll do. We'll do.
Cool. So one of the big things that you do with the principal's desk is you run the two giant Facebook groups, you know, and when, again, I figured out that this was you, I was like, holy cow, they're fantastic. The principal's desk and the assistant principal's desk. We're live on Facebook now. It's going through the groups there.
Yeah.
Tell me about that role and
starting
these. And it was really fantastic. Yeah.
Thanks. There's actually more groups. So I have the counselor's desk group, which is, I think about 40,000 counselors across the United States. There's a superintendent's one, which is way smaller. It's a couple hundred. I have one for charter schools, which is also on the smaller side, but the principal's desk was the original one. I started it in 2016 and I started it because I wanted a place where I could just post the stuff that I was writing. I was starting a blog, do different things. I was like, I want a place where I can post up stuff. And I created this thing and I had a couple hundred people in it for a long time because I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. And then it started to gain some traction more and more. I'd say right about 2021, 22 maybe, it just blew up. So right now it's about 243,000 educators from across the world. We're in almost every country. It's very strange. I've been at conferences and I'll ask people, have you heard of the principal's desk group? Are you in it? And pretty much everyone says yes, which is weird. And then, and then I'll like, oh, cool. I started that group. Like, thanks so much for joining it. And they're just kind of looking at me and they're like, so then I pull it up. I'm like, look, that's my face. Like, that's me. And they're like, oh, wow. Like, that's like, cool. Like we see all your posts and everything. And so it's been cool because people have told me they've gained so much from it, you know, not necessarily from me, but just in general, just like having this hive mind and just, you know, this one person said, you know, I had an issue at my school and I posted a question up in the group. And within 10 minutes, I had 50 replies of, you know, things that I should think about. And, you know, getting back to the fact that, you know, I said, you know, before, like the principalship can be a very lonely job. This gives people like an outlet, you know, to ask questions, to get support. When I was an elementary principal, I did not have an AP. It was just me. I was the only non-teaching certificated employee at the school. I couldn't ask anybody any questions because I was the only administrator. So, you know, I wanted to keep that kind of alive as a group started growing and growing. So 243,000 in that group. In the assistant principals group, I think we're at about 92,000, 93,000. And so a lot of people, like you said, interviewing for jobs right now. So they're asking like, hey, like, anyone else sample interview questions? Or this is how I answered this question. What do you think? Like, and it's great. I'm in there obviously every single day. And just what people post, it's it's great. If you want to know what's going on in education, spend 10 minutes going through the group. You'll find out. It's amazing to see how much content is in there.
Yeah. I mean, today someone thanked the group because they got the job.
Yeah.
They did all the things that the people advised.
Yeah. I mean, it's hilarious. Just, you know, the people that are in there too. I get starstruck because I see some of the names come across. And I'm like, you're in this group. Like, I know you. I saw you speak on the big stage, like at this conference, or I've read your book, and it's like, you know, they're in a group that I created in my, you know, home office in 2016 because I wanted a place to blog. Yeah. You know, it's been a fun journey for sure.
Cool. Well, congratulations. Cool. Again, if you're watching the show live, if you're not part of those groups, I highly recommend it. It really does feel like a community. And I didn't realize the number was so big, David, because you feel like you're just in a room with, you know, maybe 50, 60 principal friends who can help.
Yeah. Yeah. It's we get about 1,000 requests a week to join. I mean, it's a full-time job without being paid for it. Wow. To manage these groups, but it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Well, thank you for doing that. And I find it very helpful. One of the things that hopefully you do get paid for is your speaking and consulting. I looked at your website, and again, you can Google David Franklin and the principal's desk, and his website comes up. Talk to me about preparing for a talk. You're going to a conference, you're keynoting, you have a couple sessions. What does that preparation look like for you in terms of the content, in terms of the logistics?
One of the things that I guess I continue to do, but I was more heavily involved a few years ago. I'm associate of Dr. Robert Marzano, and to go through his kind of like boot camp on presenting to schools was amazing. And so I learned a ton from him. And my prep, really, it's about storytelling. I've been to so many workshops, I've been to so many conferences, had so many speakers come in where I was very much bored the entire time because you're reading slides. And, you know, that's my biggest pet peeve is, you know, don't read slides. I can read them myself. What I want to hear is, how did this work for you in the real world? And so I tell a lot of stories in my sessions from my own life, my own experiences, but also others as well. And I share those. I also like audience participation as well. Like, I like to get people up. I like to get them moving around. When I work with individual schools, that's the first thing I do is I get people up and we walk around and we just get the blood pumping a little bit. And so, you know, I want to engage people at a deep level. I want to deliver the content that they want, but I also want them to walk away going, is that it? We're done already? You know, and it's been like 8 hours, you know, I'm sometimes it's 8 to 3 and I want them to go like, wow, we're done. Like, great. And then when I come back the next day, everyone's on time. Cause that's the big indicator of like, did I do a good job? They're on time. I must've, because you know, they're coming in 10 minutes late. I know they were trying to just delay it for 10 more minutes. I get it. I've been there. But yeah, it's stories. I do slides, but I'm not heavy on text. And I just want to convey, you know, my experiences and how I can best support them.
If you're interested, again, learning about David, just Google it. It comes right out. The principal's desk, a lot of information. And I saw the word storytelling in there a lot, David. And I love that as well. I think it's one of the most underrated leadership skills out there, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. If you're watching the show live, again, jump in, say hello, let us know where you're watching from. And we're looking to give a book away here. One just came out in January, Advice from the Principal's Desk. So,
yeah,
David, my theme is surviving and thriving. And you know that as a principal, right? Let's take out the word and. And what is that habit, that strategy, that thing for you that you would put in there to thrive more than just survive?
Wow, that's a tough question. I would say belief in yourself. I mean, I'll give a phrase. Belief in yourself. it is very easy in this role to doubt everything that you do. And like I said, it's a lonely job sometimes. You make decisions and you're just crossing your fingers, hoping it's going to work out. But believe in yourself, trust yourself. You're there for you were chosen for that role for a reason. And it's not to be perfect every single time, but it's to believe in yourself, believe in others, believe in those around you. And you're going to be successful and you're going to make you're going to move your school forward. Believe in yourself. Again, when the mistakes come, don't beat yourself up. Yeah. You know, keep moving forward.
Ted Lasso, you know, brought that word back to life. You know, I mean,
you got to be a goldfish sometimes too, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because we make a lot of those mistakes. I loved your answer. See about doing some writing with you on that. David, something you wanted to share that we didn't talk about?
I think mentioned everything. My big thing was, like, if you're looking for support, you're looking for some help, join one of the groups that's out there, principal's desk, assistant principal's desk, counselor's desk. You know, be a part of this community. Chances are people that you know are in there as well. And so reach out on the website. And if I can support you in a way, please do so. But get into those groups and just play around, just scroll through. You're going to get a ton of ideas.
And sometimes people feel nervous because they feel like they have to write something, and you don't. You can just absorb it. You can just take it all because people want to share and people are there to help. So
I look at the metrics on the back end, and we're going tens of thousands of posts a week. But again, there's 240,000 people in there. Some people literally just get ideas. You don't have to post anything. If you want to post, you can post anonymously as well. That's a function that's in there. But hey, just get some ideas and feel like there's other people out there that are going through exactly what you're going through. We're all in this together.
So true. I love it. David, we talked off air. IXL sponsors the program. Yeah. I know you used it. How was your experience using IXL and how did it work for you with kids in your school?
Now, I'm going back a few years, but I brought IXL to both my schools, actually. And I loved, at the time, I loved the data reporting. I'm a big believer, it's in the book, I'm a big believer in data. And I know that can be a four-letter word in education because we've used data in the wrong ways a lot of the time. But I wanted to know at any given time where my students were at on that learning continuum. And if there were some deficiencies in some areas, I wanted to provide them intervention support and then bolster that up. But how can I track their progress? IXL, you know, really gave me the opportunity to do that, where I could focus on specific skills and deficiencies with where some students were at in their progress, and really hone in on that and see them bolster those skills. And they were able to move forward. So I had a very positive experience with IXL for sure.
Yeah. And it's immediate. Like, you don't have
It's immediate.
For the report from the state, you know, you're getting it that afternoon, like right there.
Exactly. I wanted to know in the moment when it was. You know, I played the state testing game for 10 years, you know, trying to get my test scores up. But what was more important to me was the report in the moment. It's, you know, where are my kids at literally right now, and where are they going to be tomorrow? Where were they 2 weeks ago? So I can continue to push them. Having data come back over the summer didn't really help me a lot. So I relied on those formative assessments for sure.
Awesome. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. David, like your 8-hour presentation, we're already here at 40 minutes. So let's get to rapid fire.
All right.
These are quick questions. I know you're in Idaho and it goes a little slower there, but these are quick ones. Awesome. You're driving on the freeway in LA. Okay.
I'll do my best.
Okay. Last book you read.
Educating with Passion and Purpose.
Oh, who's the author there?
It's Meredith Mattson. And I say that because she wrote one of my reviews for my book. And so she sent me hers. And so I have it right here.
Hold that up.
I've been digging through it. It's quite good.
Cool. Well, you put me in touch with her. We'll get her on the podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
Last movie you saw?
Oh, Rise of the Planet of the Apes with my 13-year-old on Hulu the other night.
Yeah, awesome. Last concert you went to?
Last concert, Alice in Chains.
Okay, you're a music teacher. I mean, you got, you know.
Yep, got to go Alice in Chains.
As a music teacher, are you able to separate and just enjoy the show? Or are you like analyzing, he did this and this technique?
I do both, but I enjoy that as well. I continue to be amazed in the music that I go see, especially the older acts, which is weird for me to say because I don't think they're my age. But I'm still amazed with some of the things that they do, and I can still enjoy it. But there are some times where I can just sit back and go, I'm just going to enjoy the music. I'm not going to think about the technical capabilities of the bass player.
Yeah. Favorite dish?
I'm going to go deep dish pizza.
Nice.
Okay. Sorry about the New York. It's not going to be the New York pizza. I'll go Chicago deep dish.
Hey, I'm in the time. We take it all on, David. We take it all on. You said Maine this summer. Where's your favorite place to travel?
Maine is going to be a second. Hawaii, and I have not been in many years. I hope to go back. I hope to support all the folks in Maui, who lost homes. I know that they're wanting tourists to come back. And so I hope to be one of those tourists and help and support that community for sure.
Beautiful. Beautiful. This summer, I will fill in the blank.
I'm going to relax. I'm going to take some time off. I'm going to relax.
Good for you. A pet peeve of yours?
I think I said it earlier. I'll keep it close to this. It's reading from slides. Drives me nuts.
I hear you on that. At 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, I feel fill in the blank.
Probably tired because I'm sitting at a softball tournament because my daughter would have her call time would be 8 a.m.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Best takeaway from this show for our guests?
Wow. Because I think there's so much here. Just appreciate the conversation around the groups and just you get the support you need. There's support that's out there. You don't have to look hard. Just go to the principal's desk. They'll help you out.
Yeah. And the book too. Your book is out.
And the book too.
On Amazon. It's there. Definitely check that out.
Yeah.
Just Google it. It comes right up there. Best part about Boise, Idaho. You've been in Boise now several years. What do you like about it?
The people are very nice out here. Very kind, helpful people. The people are great.
How blue is the blue turf?
It's very blue. It is shocking when you see it the first time because you're like, this is an unnatural blue, but it is very blue.
First one time. One thing David Franklin is curious about.
I am curious about, I'll keep it with here in what we're talking about. I'm curious about AI in education. I'm curious about where we're going to go with that. That is an exciting and terrifying frontier, but I'm very curious about that for sure.
Yeah. The people are using it. I haven't touched it. Ah. I feel like it's the guy in the black trench coat on the corner.
It is, but I want to know that guy.
Hey, man.
I want to know that guy. That's the guy you need to know for sure.
Exactly. Who's your sports team?
Oh, I apologize to everyone, but Los Angeles Dodgers for sure. Sorry, baseball fans. I know everyone hates the Dodgers. All the way. Dodgers all the way. Grew up in LA. Come on.
Is there something about David Franklin that people do not know about?
Yes. So I was a music teacher and I was a musician prior. And my claim to fame in the music industry was that we were slated to open up for Lenny Kravitz at a stop in San Diego. And he personally decided that we were not going to open up for him.
Whoa. You got fired by Lenny Kravitz.
I got fired by Lenny Kravitz. That is correct.
Wow, what a disappointment.
Huge disappointment. But, I made it up years later. I was actually able to go on stage with members of Metallica, Faith No More, Testament, Slayer, and we got to play guitar with some real legends. So I'm more than made up for it, so I'm good.
David, I've asked that question to a lot of people. That is one of the best.
I mean... I've tried to explain it to my children and they're like, I don't care. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, it was really awesome. It's an awesome story. You just don't, you're too young.
Yeah. I hope our listeners enjoyed it today. David is very active on social media. I usually say, how can people get in touch with it? You can find them at the principal's desk and certainly the groups. They're fantastic. David, let's end with a quote. Do you have a quote that you'd like to share?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to do my Ted Lasso quote, don't bring an umbrella to a brainstorm. you know, as a school leader, you know, just take everything in. Don't shut things down. Don't shut people out. The most successful school leaders are the ones that bring people in. Let's get all the ideas out on the table. Let's talk about it as a community and be collaborative with others and don't be closed off. But yeah, so don't bring an umbrella to a brainstorm. Ted Lasso.
David Franklin, everybody from Boise, Idaho. Check him out on Facebook and join the groups. And certainly check out his book, Advice from the Principal's Desk. It is out there now. David, I appreciate the conversation. This was fun.
Yeah, no, it was great. Thanks for having me on the show.
What's for dinner? What are you making?
It's going to be pasta tonight. Now, I'm talking to an Italian, so I'm not going to tell you that this is going to be the store-bought pasta and the store sauce, but I'm going to do what I can.
You got a protein going in there? What do you got with it?
I'm going to do some ground turkey meat.
Keep it separate or mix it in?
It's separate because my kids like it that way. I will mix mine in before I do mine.
You got to keep the kids happy, man.
You got to keep the kids happy. I mean, they need to eat. Kind of a parent would I be if they go to school and they're like, I'm hungry. I didn't eat dinner last night.
David Franklin, everyone, come join us in the Facebook groups. Thanks for watching the show live. If I can help you in any way, I'm on Twitter at AndrewMorata21. Leave us a positive review for the show. And thanks for tuning in. David, stay on the line a second.
Will do.
See you, friends. Keep surviving and thriving.